Okay. All right, we're going to do just a little bit of Torah here. L'chaim, baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nieh bidvaro.
Amen.
And Bella is sponsoring, Bella and Barry.
For my beautiful,
my mother-in-law, Chaya, Bat. Avram Avinu, okay. Beautiful. Bas Yisrael. Beautiful. Don't worry, I'm just joking. We'll look it up. We'll look it up. Chaya Bas Yitzchak. Her neshama she'av an aliyah.
Amen, amen.
Okay, good. Perfect. By the way, there's a perfect Yitzchak. It's a perfect segue. Okay, so good chodesh to everyone. So I want to show you a piece that I saw just yesterday. It's on the very bottom here. This is from the Sefer Iturei Torah. It's a great sefer if you do not have it. Apparently a cousin of ours wrote it, but it's a fantastic, you know, likut of various, you know, sayings on the Ma'amarim, on the Parsha, short, bite-sized stuff, Chasidish, Yeshivish, a whole mix. So on the very bottom, you'll see, I think, a really, really insightful idea. The Yaakov Ishtam, again, obviously, thank you to those who set up, and Mirza Hashem, full breakfast next week. The Yaakov Ishtam, so it says Yaakov Ishtam Yoshevo Alim, right? Esav is the Ish of the Atzayid. He knows how to hunt, but we know more than that, right? He's a man, he's out there, he lives in the, understands how to deal with people, how to play the game. And it seems like Yaakov's the opposite. Yaakov's an Ishtam. So the Chozeh of Lublin, the seer of Lublin, says as follows. So look at Rashi, quotes Rashi on the very bottom. Mi she'eno charif l'ramot karuitam. Someone who's not really sharp to, be a manipulator, to be able to, be political or diplomatic or say the things he needs to say. That's a tam. L'chol rakasha. I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow. But this is a little foreshpice. L'chor akasha. Hari Rashi ba'atzmo, maybe ala pasuk. V'yaged Yaakov l'Rachel ki achi avi hahu. Rashi himself says on the pasuk that when Yaakov meets Rachel, Yaakov says to Rachel, yaged Yaakov l'Rachel ki achi avi hahu. He is the brother of ki achi avi hahu, that he's the brother of her father. That they're related. At Divrei Chazal, so like, what does that mean? He's not the brother of her father. He's not the brother of Lavan. So what does that mean when he's saying that he's the brother of her father? Divrei Chazal, im l'ramot huba. If he's come to trick me, he's come to play games. Gamani achiv b'ramaut. I could play the game too, right? Two can play the game. And by the way, what's the proof? Look what I did to my father. Look, I did it. Okay, I had a little help from mom. But I did it. Achiv ani b'ramaut. Don't worry, I can play the game. By the way, how did that work out for Lavan, for Yaakov? Not so great. Right? Yeah, Yaakov, Lavan still took him, you know, for many, many years. But obviously, ultimately, played the game and, you know, he was able to amass a fortune, utilizing the talents and obviously the divine assistance that he had. El Chazal Amru. Kol mi shenase rachman b'makom she'tzarich liyot achzari, sof shenase achzari b'makom rachman. The rabbis say, based on a pasuk in Koheles, al tihi tzadik harbe, don't be such a tzadik. Literally, right? Don't be too much of a tzadik. What do you mean? How could you not be too much of a tzadik? Well, if there are times that you need to be a rachman, if you become a rachman at a time where you're supposed to be achzari, for example, not to be political, right? But let's be honest, right? Minneapolis, right? They're like, okay, we're going to vote to take away, we're going to totally, right? We're going to disband the police force. How'd the vote work? Yeah, no, of course we need a police force. That doesn't make any sense, right? There's a reason, Nebuch, why the murder rate has gone up in this country, right? Because at a certain point, obviously, there needs to be equity and there needs to be fairness and people need to do the right things and so on and so forth. People in power can't abuse their power. But you can't just be a Rahman in a place where there's achzari. Oh, I feel bad. A judge. There was a show. Was it on Netflix? I don't remember. It was with the guy from Breaking Bad. What's the guy's name?
Bryan Cranston.
And he plays a judge. And it's a really fantastic show. It's called Your Honor. It's actually based on an Israeli show called Kivodo, which is really cool, right? So it's about a judge that kind of is put in a unenviable position, and he has to, you know, he has to, I don't want to give away the whole thing, but he has to, like, not be as scrupulous as he was. But what he was known for was, he's in a very, like, poor kind of district. It's a drug-ridden district, gang-ridden district in New Orleans, Louisiana, you know, contemporary times. And he was known, you found the drugs. Well, where'd you find it? How'd you find the drugs? And he was very nice. He would let the people go for the most part. But real drugs. And then they'd go out and then they would, you know, they're selling drugs again, or Nebuch, they're going and a person, you know, assaulted a woman, you know, whatever. You can't be too much of a Rahman. You have to be an Achzari sometimes. Eventually, if you are a Rahman at a time where you need to be achzari, where you need to be cruel, where you need to enforce din, judgment, so shenaseh achzari b'makom Rahman. Ultimately, you will become cruel at a time that you should be compassionate, right? Because you'll see, right? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, right? And at a certain point, it's going to come back to haunt you. It's going to boomerang because, you know, you didn't do it right the first time. And then then you're going to make a mistake after the fact. Now, what does that have to do with Yaakov? Ki Adam Sarich Ladat Heichlid Naheg Bemida. A person needs to know the time and the place for things, right? Eit Lehov Ve'Eit Snow, right? There's a time to love and there's a time to hate. There's a time for war. There's a time for peace, etc. We understand that. Pam Kach L'Shem Shamayim. Sometimes one situation might call for one type of reaction, and in the same type of situation, it might call for a different type of reaction. But again, you have to know the time and the place. You have to know the situation, and you have to sometimes, you know, be strong, and sometimes you have to be you have to let things go. V'zev Yaakov ish tam, says the Chozer. V'Yaakov ish tam yoshev alim. Hainu? Why is it saying, I saw this in a different place quoting the Rebbe and Mila Blin. Oh, no, sorry, actually in the next piece. Why does it say ish? Let it just say, if Yaakov really is a simpleton, he's not a simpleton, obviously, right? But if Yaakov is really just sweet and nice and, you know, innocent, not wily at all, doesn't understand things more in a more sophisticated manner, let it just say Yaakov tam. Yaakov's a tam. It doesn't say tam. Says the Chozer, it says Yaakov ish tam. There's a difference. Hainu ish ve'alim al midas ha'tmimus ve'lo she'tmimus tishlot olav. Yaakov yada imatai liyot tam. Yaakov knew that there were certain situations that call for being an ish. Standing up, taking the bull by the horns, doing what he needed to do. Maybe not at that point. By the way, who did he learn it from? His mom. Right? He didn't really know, but he had it in him. He learned it from his mom. Ultimately, he did, right? And he did succeed in Lavan's house. And, you know, he went through many iterations of probably going between being an Ish and being a Tam, right? Did he know that he was going to be cheated? Yeah, according to the Medrash, he knew, you know, oh, they're going to make a mistake. He's going to flip the brides, right? And you know, let's have a special sign with Rachel. Did he know Rachel will double cross? No, right? But it goes back and forth. And that's the idea. Sometimes you need to be an ish. Sometimes you need to be a tam. Look at the next piece. The Rebbe Rabbanim of Pshishcha quoting the Chozer Milablin. He says, "A Rebbe Milablin Zatzal Amar al Pasuk." It's the second paragraph. V'Yaakov ish tam shayagam ish v'gam tam yada matai linhog b'tmimut. He knew when he should carry himself and just sort of be sweet and gentle and let things go. Liyo tam umatai liot ish. But he also knew when to be an ish. And when he needed to be, he would be his brother in Ramaut. So last night I called Izzy Rubenstein. We've been we've been in touch for years. Izzy's name is Yisrael. Izzy is Yisrael, and so my name is Shalom Yisrael. So I told Izzy this part. Why did I tell him this part? Because it made me think of his, obviously I've been thinking about Rabbi Rubenstein a whole lot, and Debbie a whole lot, especially over the past few weeks, especially as we head into the Bar Mitzvah. But Rabbi Rubenstein, he would say to me a lot, he would turn to me and he would say, "So my name is Shalom Yisrael." So if he saw that, maybe someone was, you know, taking advantage of me, or all of us would say, whatever, you know, hey, you should do this, you should do that, whatever it was. He would look at me, he goes, "Rabbi Jonathan, you can't just be a Shalom. You need to be a Yisrael sometimes. You need to be a Yisrael." right? And what he was saying was, right, Yisrael is kisarita im Elohim ve'im anashim atuchal. That sometimes you got to step. You didn't want to get in the rabbi's way. If you did, you didn't want to get in his way, right? But he knew something you needed to be. And he's like, you know what? You can't just be a shalom all the time. You can't. Sometimes you have to be. And it's the same idea, right? This is the chozeh, right? Sometimes you have to be an ish. You know how to be an ish. But probably that's, you know, the biggest problem. Rabbi Rubenstein actually would call it. He would call it rabbinic jousting. He said sometimes we'd be at a meeting and you'd see, you know, this rabbi is saying this. And really, what are they doing? It's, you know, come on. They're showing who's... You know, you call it jousting for a reason, right? But, you know, who's whatever. You know, I'm greater than you, and I have more power than you. Ridiculous, right? That doesn't call for being. Sometimes you have to stand up, take a position, and be a leader, right? But other times you just have to be a tam, and that's the same balance of the shalom and the Yisrael, ish and a tam. Very, 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 very important words to be able to live by. Okay, and we'll see one more piece very quickly. Turn the page, and you'll see something unbelievable in Or HaChaim. It's right on the very bottom. The Or HaChaim is commenting, as most of the Mefarshim try to figure out, like, what in the world is Yitzchak thinking? Really? Did Yitzchak really not know? You know, I have a whole psychological piece, and the Sforno actually supports it, and others, right? Batichena einav mer'ot. He was, his eyes were dimmed from seeing, right? Why was he dimmed? When did his eyes get dim? It's my own little shot, right? When did his eyes get dim from, you know, the Rashi with the angel, cries, the tear of the angel goes in his eye at Akedah. What does that really mean? It means, right, that Yitzchak knew what it was like to be in a position where he was going to be a child discarded, right? And it impacted him his whole life. Vatichena inav merot. He knew Esav. He knew Esav was. He knew Esav wasn't, right? Vatichena inav merot. But he chose to see the good, not to see the bad, because I don't want this. I want both in. Okay, that's my psychological piece. Now, the Or HaChaim basically said this. No, Or HaChaim says, Yitzchak knew Esav was. He wasn't blind to the fact that Esav was, you know, didn't have the greatest midos and didn't, you know, have the greatest behaviors and so on. He knew what Yaakov was as well. So why did he want to bless Esav? Chafetz lebarech Esav arasha, the very bottom, Or HaChaim. I'll tell you why he wanted to bless Esav. Ki chashav shebe'emtza'ud habrachot yitapech lemidat hatov v'yitiv dracha. Because he thought that through the means of this bracha, he would turn him around. He would be able, almost, you know, to be able to channel to Freudian, to sublimate all of his drives, all of his passions, all the stuff going on that was driving him to behave badly. And the bracha could turn him around. And he would be better. Now, okay, that's a nice chat. You've heard that before. So I'm sure so many of you have heard that. But it goes weiter. Ki atzadikim yichavu ba'asot b'neim rasha. Because a real tzaddik, a righteous person, is pained to make his child, their child should be a rasha, should be a wicked person. And he really tried to work with them. He really tried to work with them. Okay, very nice. The next words are going to blow you away. The efshar shahaya mo'il. And you know what? It might have worked. It might have worked. Look at the next thing. V'timtza shamru kinena sh'yakov shemona adina me'esav she'efshar shahaita machzirato lamutav hare she'efshar lo lachzor lamutav. The Or HaChaim proves it and he says, look, there's a gemara that says that Yaakov was punished for hiding Dina. Right, Dina we know gets raped. Yaakov was hiding Dina because he didn't want Esav to marry her. That was like, you know, whatever. That they would marry within the family. He's like, she's not worthy. But why was he punished for it? Well, he was punished for it because it actually could have worked. And he says, what you see from here is that if Rivka hadn't done what she did, this is wild. If Rivka hadn't done what she did, according to Or HaChaim, it would have worked. It would have worked. And they both would have been in the game. There would have been Yaakov and Esav as a power team, right? To lead Bnei Yisrael, we wouldn't have had to wait to the next generation of all the shvatim, which is really a mind blowing idea. And again, you know, on a Shabbos like this, hey tzaddik, today's his bar mitzvah, mamash, today, right now, we're so. And on a Shabbos like this, to know, to remember to remember, the Rabbi Reuven sees Zichron Bracha, I think all of you here remember, yeah, every single one of you here, remember, he was someone, Jacob will make note of it tomorrow, never, ever, ever gave up on a kid. Ever. Ever. I had situations like, oh, this, that, a person's older and they're dating. So, Rabbi Rubenstein said, you know, never. And what would he say if he saw someone running around? I was just talking to Harold about it. When he saw someone running around the bima or in the shul, running like extra hard, extra wild. Oh, that kid! And they give him the president's like, oh, that kid, not you. And the president, oh, that kid, not you either. And the youth, you know, and the youth committee is like, oh God, we gotta get the kids. What did Rabbi Rubenstein say? He said, you see that kid? He's gonna be a Rosh Yeshiva. That's what he said. That's what he would say all the time. Why? First of all, because that's where he was. I know that's the way I was in shul. But what he was saying was exactly what the Or Chaim was saying. Right? Give a kid a chance. Never give up on a kid. And give him a bracha, and it could turn him around, and you never know what the possibilities can be. Shabbos, everyone. Good night.